Broadcasting Company. WNBC AM and FM, New York.
All right, nurse. Scalpel, forceps, sponge, suture.
Suture?
Yes, suit yourself, but be sure to tune to Rayburn every morning from 6 to 8:30 on WNBC. Kindly, lovable old Gene Rayburn, bringing you music, news, weather, and laughs, laughs, laughs. Don't miss him.
Hello there.
Paul. Hi, how are you?
Howdy.
Hi there.
We're the 40 million.
We are the 40 million. We are the 40 million.
Health Information Foundation and the National Broadcasting Company present The 40 Million, the story of America's only indispensable resource, upon which the future of the country depends, our 40 million children. And this chapter, called Friend of the Bride, stars that popular couple of the American theater, Jean and Kathleen Lockhart.
Her name's Priscilla Mary Rogers. This child, I always call her Sally. I'm Doc Quincy. Old Doc Quincy, her family's doctor, so hers too. She inherited me. Yep. 20 years ago, I brought her into the world. Today, here I am at her wedding. Beautiful bride, the handsome groom, and a radiant mother of the bride. Helen Rogers is an organizing person. No late tearful arrival for her. No, sir. She was one of the first on hand at the church door to make sure everyone knew his place or her place and the queue. I waved at her as I jogged up the church steps, and she called me over to the vestry door.
Dr. Quincy, on time, I declare. No babies to bring, no last-minute emergency.
Oh, not today, Helen. I arranged it that way, just for Sally's wedding.
Oh, I'm so glad you could get here. Sally said it wouldn't be a wedding without you. There wouldn't have been either. Dr. Quincy brought Sally into the world, you know, Mary. Yes, he brought Sally in.
In my little black bag.
And then he never had to worry about her afterwards. Huh? Such a fine, healthy girl. How lucky we've been. We're very grateful. Sally was just born healthy.
Huh?
You better go on in, Doc, or you won't find a good seat. And you'll want to see her. Oh, she looks beautiful.
All right. So I came on in, thinking to myself a little wryly as I went. Just born healthy, eh? Old Doc brought Sally, and we never had to worry about her again. Could have done without me, eh? Just sulfur and molasses instead, eh? And yet I can remember a day when I had to worry over Sally.
And the dog bit Sally on the leg.
Strange dog?
Oh, it belongs to some people who've just moved into the neighborhood. A big dog.
Did it seem sick or act queer?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't with her. She's still crying. I can't get a thing out of her but sobs. She came running home.
Did the bite break the skin?
Yes, it's bleeding.
Well, then you get her down here right away.
Oh, Doc, it isn't that bad. I just called to ask whether I should use iodine.
Helen, you get Sally down here. I want to see it myself, and I'll cauterize it.
Oh, but that'll hurt her.
Helen!
Well, it isn't a very deep bite, and it wasn't a stray dog. It was a clean, well-kept dog.
I don't care if the dog had just finished brushing his teeth. We're not taking a chance with hydrophobia.
Hydrophobia?
Not even one chance in a thousand. Now, you get Sally down here fast. Well, I couldn't sleep tonight if I didn't let you do that. Neither could you if you ever seen it. I'd only seen one case myself, years before, when I was an intern. Frank Blaine, orphan, 13 years old. I'd never forgotten him. Well, Helen brought Sally in. We cauterized the wound. Then we started Pasteur treatment, just in case. The dog was rabid. Of course, Sally might not have come down, but there was no way to tell. But I'd seen that skinny little Blaine kid arch his body in horrid convulsions, and I'd heard him fight for breath. I'd seen him die, all for no treatment given. Sally was 10 years old when the dog bit her, a happy, active, thoroughly engaging 10. And now she's 20. What a thing to be remembering at a wedding. But Helen had started me off with that talk about luck and gratitude and never needing a doctor. Uh-oh, here's Usher. Looks slightly self-conscious. Just want to dress up, young man.
A friend of the bride or a friend of the groom,
eh?
Sir.
Huh? What?
Which side of the church do you want to sit on, sir?
We take sides, do we? Huh? Well, the groom's a nice enough young fella, but he's one of Doc Stroud's babies, not mine. I guess you'd say I'm a friend of the bride's. I brought her here.
To the church, sir?
To the world, sonny.
Oh, you're Dr. Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
Sally Priscilla said if you got her to put you right up in front with the family.
Oh, well, family doctor. Well, it's a proper member of the wedding, I suppose. Oh, Sally's a nice girl. She was a nice baby, even before she was born. Ain't no trouble, but I had to watch her mother. 1932. It wasn't a good year. Now, Mrs. Rogers, you step on the scales here, please.
Yes, doctor.
Well, up a pound.
Only 1 pound? Oh, good.
Well, it's not bad, but I don't want you to gain more than 16 or 17 pounds the whole time. So on your way home, don't stop at the corner drugstore for that double chocolate malted milkshake.
Oh, doctor, how can you?
Now, how can you? All of you girls. Don't you think I know? You get by my weight inspection here, and then after every visit...
Oh, we're afraid of you, doctor. You're so stern if we gain too much. So we starve on visiting days, and then we eat on the way home.
My dear, too much weight will just make it harder for me, for you, and for the baby when the time comes.
Oh, when is the time ever going to come? It goes so slowly. All right, I won't stop at the drugstore today. As a matter of fact, I can't really afford it anyhow. Not a double malted. Bob, Mr. Rogers, he's lost his job, Dr. Quincy.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Mrs. Rogers. These are bad days.
I've been trying to think how to tell you all the time I've been here today.
Mm-hmm.
Bob said I must tell you right away because it... Well, it may mean we can't pay you for I don't know how long.
Oh.
Maybe if there's a clinic...
No, Mrs. Rogers. Now, don't you worry about my bill. Bob and I'll work that out. Now, let's think about the baby. I feel awful tired today.
A bad night, Doctor?
Well, sort of a doctor's night. I'm so sleepy I can only do one thing at a time. And I'm hungry. Now, all this talk of double malted... Say, you're my last patient this afternoon. I tell you, I'll treat you to a double malt today and have one with you.
Oh.
I don't suppose Helen Rogers is remembering that today. 1932. It was a bad time. Jobs uncertain, elusive. Bob Rogers hunted hard, but unsuccessfully. And their savings went, and the bills piled up, and mine was in the stack. But Sally, she cared nothing about economics. She just wanted to be born. And so, in the natural course of events, one middle of the night... One awful rainy night.
Hello? Doc Quincy here.
Dr. Quincy, Doc. Yeah. This is Bob Rogers. Please, yeah. Right away.
Right away? I'm asleep.
Doc.
You sure?
Every 2 minutes.
Oh, right away. Now, that was before we got our hospital. Of course, after it was all over, I remember sitting in the big chair by Helen Rogers' bed, feeling far away and content, peaceful and relieved like Helen herself. Helen was awake now, and I heard her say something to her husband, sort of sounding far away.
How's the baby?
Wonderful.
How's the father?
Fine, now it's over. How's the mother, darling?
Oh, I'll never be so happy again. She's not sorry she's born, is she? I hear her crying.
Oh, I don't think so. Just a little strained still. The nurse is with her. You know, what we'd really better be asking is, how's the doctor? Look at him.
Oh, asleep in the chair. Oh, put the pink comforter over him, Bob. The new one. The best one.
Well, I own Sally for 6 months. I owned her. Young folks didn't have hospital or health insurance in those days. There was hardly a gleam in anybody's eye. And then Bob Rogers got a job.
I never enjoyed paying a bill so much, Doc.
Well, now, have you decided to keep her?
We have.
Well, I'd be willing to foreclose and take her off your hands.
Not a chance, Doc, but you can have anything else we've got. And we'll never forget you.
Yes, it takes you back. A wedding of your baby. I wonder, sitting here, just behind the family, what they're remembering. Helen was a very faithful mother about the monthly checkups and the shots.
Oh, poor baby. Is it necessary to stick her so much? She'll hate you, Doc.
Well, she'll get over it, which she might not do over diphtheria without shots. We'll be friends yet, but first, shots. Diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough.
Oh, I didn't get all these shots when I was little, and neither did you. How did we ever grow up?
Helen, not nearly so many of us did. Now, I'll settle for a little resentment from Sally one day a year if it'll keep her well and happy and free from danger the other 364. By the time my Sally was five, the screams were ended and we were firm friends. And with school approaching, I had to risk that friendship once more. Vaccination.
Oh, the poor child. More sticking.
Oh, we'll just scratch a little this time. Poor child. Say, do you know about smallpox, Helen?
Not much. It's bad, though, isn't
it? Yes, bad. And before they discovered vaccination, smallpox killed 60 million human beings in a century.
Oh.
Sally, poor child, she won't have that danger to face. And the next years were rather uneventful. Measles, mumps, and colds, and a few simple problems to be met.
I won't take those pills. They taste awful.
Well, now, look. You hold your nose while they chew them up, and you can't taste them.
Oh, that's silly.
Oh, maybe, but it's so. Now, you try it.
You're trying to trick me.
Well, now, try it with a piece of candy first. Now,
all right.
Here you are. Now, hold your nose. There, that's it. Now, swish your tongue around your teeth, see? And then get it all down before you let go. Hey, that a girl. Did it work?
Gee, yes. I wasted a piece of candy. You can't taste it. I won't let you put that on. It'll sting. No, it'll hurt.
Now, look. I'll blow on it while I put it on, and that'll cool the sting.
Honest?
Honest. But when Sally was just eight, there was a real crisis. Helen was worried then and badly frightened.
She had a bad chill, Doc. And then she was so hot, her temperature...
It's just a little above normal now.
It was 103 when I called you. It really was,
Yes,
Doc.
I know it was, Helen. You see, symptoms are afraid of doctors. Didn't you know that? Huh? Well, sure, it's hard to make them perform for us as it is to show off a trained dog. As soon as we arrive, they go underground.
And make a fibber out of mothers.
Well, you should have called me, Helen. Now, I don't want to alarm you and Bob, but the temperature will climb again and stay there a while. I'm afraid it's pneumonia.
Pneumonia? Doctor, no!
You're sure?
And the apex of the lung. We'll take x-rays, of course. Uh-oh, has she been coughing much?
She tries not to, Doc. She says it hurts her side. What do we do, Doc?
Well, we're going to get her to the hospital at once.
No, I'll nurse my baby.
Helen, she needs nursing 24 hours a day. Special trained nursing.
I want to keep her safe here in her own home.
Yes, but she wouldn't be safe here, Helen. You ought to thank God we've got the hospital now. We may need things in a hurry and... Well, things like an oxygen tank.
Oh, no.
Yes, indeed.
Is she that sick, Doc? I mean, oxygen? They use that for people who are dying.
Oh, Bob, don't say that.
Yes, and for hundreds of people who aren't dying. Why, we use it all the time in the hospital. Now, look, let's stop talking about this and get a move on.
She's my baby.
And she's my patient. Softer now, Sally. Now, are you awake now? Huh? How are you feeling?
Tired of laying here, but I'm too tired to sit up.
I know. I could just tell looking at you that you'd like a new bed. A special one, so you can sit up without moving, huh?
How, Doc? How can I?
Why, the bed moves. It cranks up and down, and you can breathe without hurting. But we'll have to take you for a ride to another building.
With moving Betty's?
That's right.
Oh, let's go. Right away, please. Can I, Mommy? Daddy?
If Doc says so.
Well, that was before sulfurs and penicillin and other antibiotics. The hospital was best and safest, and it worked fine for Sally. Now I can treat her at home, but then the hospital saved her life. And Helen was so sold on it that she wanted to try it again. Doc Quincy here.
Please come right away, Doc. Sally's awfully sick.
Sick? How?
Oh, it's her stomach. I'm sure it's appendicitis.
Well, I saw her this afternoon in the sweet shop. She was fine. She was telling how she was going to play with the Crimsons next week in the grade school volleyball league.
Oh, please, Doc.
All right, just in case. But don't use any heat and no laxatives. Now, I'll be right there.
Come in, Doctor. I've got her things all ready for the hospital.
The hospital?
Yes, I learned my lesson when she had pneumonia. You were right then.
Oh, hello, Sally. Hiya.
Oh, Doc. Oh.
And get the best surgeon, Doctor, please. She's all we have.
Now, honey, does this hurt here, huh?
Oh, everywhere.
I see. Well, now, stick out your tongue.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Doc.
Helen, Sally hasn't got appendicitis. The best surgeon living couldn't cut out what's bothering Sally.
I'll have to call another doctor.
She's got a banana split in her stomach on top of 3 hot dogs.
Oh, what?
Yeah, she sat next to me at the sweet shop counter this afternoon. Isn't that right, Sally? 1 banana split, 3 hot dogs.
Please don't talk about food now. It isn't appendicitis.
Oh. What a time to cry.
Oh, I held on so tight. I was being so self-controlled.
Yes, you were fine. A little insistent that I get here pronto out of my nice warm bed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Doc, but it might have been.
Yes, it might. And if I hadn't sat next to Sally, I wouldn't have been so sure. Why, her tummy's all soft. Oh. Sally, you should have told your mother.
I never felt this bad before, just from a little food.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was a royal banana split, which means extra whipped cream and nuts and marshmallow. And the dogs had everything on them. I was afraid to tell you, Mother.
Oh, Sally and I got Dr. Quincy out of bed.
Sally, I don't feel so well myself after listening to what you ate. What's a hot dog got on it that's got everything?
If you must go on talking about food, Doc, it's got mustard and relish and slaw and onions.
Oh.
Oh, you're making me worse talking about it. I keep seeing it in my mind and tasting it.
Well, now I'm just getting it over with a little faster, honey. I want you in shape to play that volleyball game you were telling me about today. Helen, here. You give her these tonight. And then in the morning, you get this prescription filled.
Well, I guess there are times to go to the hospital and times to stay at home.
Well, in 40 years of general practice, you learn. Of course, I had some inside information that time. Ah, the bride's mother's coming in now. I guess it's nearly time for Sally.
Oh,
my, how they grow up. After the appendicitis fiasco came the dog bite, and that frightened me more than it did Helen or Sally. But after that, not much. Some trouble with tonsils, sprained ankle, until Sally was 16. She'd gotten through the early years of adolescence beautifully, but now...
She's just not herself, Doctor. Temper and tears and...
I see. Well, I'll tell you. You let her come to see me. By herself.
But I...
She's a big girl now, Helen.
Oh, yes. She is. All right, Doctor.
And when Sally came, the tears were pretty near the surface.
I don't know what's the matter with me, Doc, dear. I cry, and I never used to cry.
Well, you did when you were little, when I stuck you. Why, you howled.
Oh, that.
You were growing then, and you're growing now.
But such silly things to cry over. Happy things.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty girl's face, a love story. I don't know why. I saw George Gray, an old boyfriend, on the street yesterday and burst out crying. I scared him to death. Hmm. Oh, I'm an adolescent, and everybody says adolescents are queer and difficult.
Not everyone.
That isn't what you're going to say?
No, Sally. No, indeed. I'm going to say that you're getting a little too much sympathy at home and not enough medicine.
You can give me medicine to make me stop crying?
Well, I think so, honey. I'll just do a little job of checkup here for you now. How did you finish high school so soon, huh?
Oh, I skipped.
Oh, I see. So your friends are still there, huh?
All of them.
Uh-huh. You feel a little lost, don't you?
Life just isn't worth living.
No, not at 16. Well, you look a little pale, Sally. I tell you, let's take a blood count first. Just a small prick now. It won't hurt. Yeah, simple anemia. My prescription was iron pills and liver extract, and maybe at least 1 year at college for that sudden lost feeling of wanting freedom but needing rules, and a suggestion to check her eyes. Maybe the shorthand really did run together. The crying stopped. Sally was herself again. Well, she went away to college, and I didn't see her very often during those years, except one vacation I did notice that a sorority pin sort of appeared on her sweater, and later a fraternity pin. Mm-hmm. She was getting along. Here she is now, radiant and beautiful. Priscilla Mary coming down the aisle. Life very much worth living. Demure, but walking a little fast for a bride because Dick is waiting for her at the altar. And yet, just a few weeks ago, she said to me...
Doc Quincy, I've been thinking of backing out of the wedding.
Yes?
You see, Dick Newman, you know, he and I came...
What's stuttering? Is it your trouble? Is it what you come to see me about today? Oh, I see. So you settled on Dick Newman. Well, I heard gossip. Nice young fella, from all I hear, though, of course, he's not one of mine.
He lives way out of your territory, Doc. Not even in this town. He goes to Dr. Stroud.
My territory? Why, I cover the whole county, Sally. Highways, byways, and you know it. And neither storm, nor sleet, nor gloom of night.
That's the post office department's motto, Doc.
Yes, well, you see, they borrowed it in the beginning from a general practitioner. How is Dick? Is he nice? I mean, is he nice enough?
Oh, Dick's fine, Doc, but I'm scared.
What? Scared about getting married?
Yes.
Why, boys and girls get married every day. I got married. Your mother and father got married. Why, that's a necessary prescription for a happy life.
I couldn't be happy without Dick, I know, but can I be happy with Dick and Dick with me, Doc? It's all so new and mysterious.
Yes.
Everybody beams and talks about how lovely and how sweet getting married, but they stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you want to get down to cases, I just don't know enough. And I certainly don't want to hear any more about the birds and the bees.
Uh-huh. But, Sally... Have you heard about the birds and the bees who want to hear about people?
Hmm? Oh, Doc. But seriously.
Yes?
Mother and Dad, I can't talk to them. They're so sentimental about
it. I know. And maybe embarrassed, huh?
Yes, maybe. Yeah. I'm so much their daughter to them.
Yeah.
But I'm a person to you, though, aren't I, Doc?
Yes.
A real person.
Yes, indeed. Sally, you want to have a serious talk, don't you?
Oh, please, Doc. And Dick, too.
Well, now, look. You get Dick. You bring him here. And we'll talk together for a little while. Not just about getting married, but about being married, huh?
Oh, thank you, Doc.
Do you, Priscilla Mary, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
A lot of memories today.
For richer, for poorer, in sickness, and in health.
And some forgetfulness.
So healthy. She's hardly needed a doctor.
Hardly needed a doctor. Well, that reminds me of a story I read. A young man set out on a perilous adventure, and his sweetheart at home, fearful for him, prayed for his safety. And danger after danger he unknowingly missed because of her intercession. When he came home safely, she said to him, I prayed for you every minute that you'd be safe and come home safely. And he laughed and said, nothing happened. Didn't need your prayers. Oh, oh. Didn't really need a doctor. All the dangers Sally avoided. And it's over now. That 7 minute ceremony. 7 minutes. And Sally coming back down the aisle. Well, I won't stay long at the reception. I'd like to get some sleep tonight, unless Mrs. McPherson decides to have that baby. Ah, yes, of course, there's that medical magazine. I ought to glance over that, and that report from the lab on those blood specimens. But there'll be time somehow. The good Lord gave us GPs a longer day by adding the nights. Oh, Sally. Sally just winked at me as she passed by. Well, I got her here, safe and sound. Yeah. I wonder if Doc Stroud had any trouble getting the groom here. Or was he just born healthy, too?
Thank you, Gene and Kathleen Lockhart, for two distinguished performances. And because we think there was a special reason for the warmth and understanding which you brought to your interpretation of the roles of Doc Quincy and Helen Rogers, I wonder if you would say a few words to us, not as actors, but as parents.
Yes, indeed, we'll be glad to, for I'm sure that other parents everywhere will agree with Mrs. Lockhart and me that the story you just heard took pages right out of the lives of many of us, experiences which you'd half forgotten that you went through with your own children. Mrs. Lockhart and I were saying just yesterday how vividly this story brought back some of the things that happened to us and to our daughter June.
Oh, yes. As the years go by, we're all apt to forget how much we owe not only to the doctor, but to what we might call the health teams who have made the health and lives of our children safer and more secure. The doctors, the nurses, the dentists, pharmacists, research specialists, medical scientists, and oh, so many other workers.
And because this is a real story, a vital story, a supremely important story, we believe sincerely that Health Information Foundation, in presenting these programs, has done an outstanding service to America's 40 million children, to their parents, and to their doctors. The foundation has requested me to ask you two or three questions. Have you liked the programs in this series? Have they been helpful in the information that they've brought you? And would you like to hear more programs like them in the future? Won't you drop a card or a letter to Health Information Foundation?
That's Health Information Foundation, or just HIF, Box 67, New York 18, New York. Now here's that address again, HIF, Box 67, New York 18, New York. Thank you again, Gene and Kathleen Lockhart. This concludes the 9 programs in The 40 Million. The many activities of HIF, which is supported by the drug, pharmaceutical, and chemical and allied industries as a public service to the nation, have this important purpose: to keep you and the people of your community informed about progress in the field of health, about the facilities and services available to us, so that we can make better use of them and improve them. To put it all in one short sentence, the Foundation believes that information is your key to health. Bride with Gene and Kathleen Lockhart was written by Dorothea J. Lewis. Music selection by Phoebe Huss. This series has been produced by Wade Arnold and directed by Harry Frazee.